If the combine is underway, then the NFL draft is right around the corner. If the combine is underway and the NFL draft is right around the corner, then you know this guy is going to be a guest on the program. He is an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He is a 3-on-3 jungle half-court legend. Good friend of the program. Remember, NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine. It gets underway tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern with quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. Daniel Jeremiah is my guest. DJ, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
What's going on, Jim? How you doing, man?
Good, good. So you have been prepping for this for months. Now you're at the Combine. What is the week like for you?
It's crazy, dude. Like, you know, the days before the workout starts, it's just doing a lot of media. And then once we get to Thursday, you know, we switched to prime time this year. So we're going to be on from 4 to 11 every day, dude.
That's insane.
So it is a lot. I was talking with somebody the other day. I was with Peter King. And we were telling him a story about one of the players. And he goes, "You got to make sure you tell that at the combine." I'm like, "Peter, we have like 28 hours or whatever. Like, I'm gonna tell every story I know. Like, I'm making up stories at that point in time."
That's the best. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so when you flew out to Indianapolis, you were sitting next to somebody who knows a lot about NFL offenses but is not in a position to draft Joe Burrow. That person told you that Burrow was the best quarterback to come out of college since Andrew Luck. I mean, really, really high praise. What's your reaction when you hear that? Is that the way you see it?
Well, look, I do. In terms of just the vision and the accuracy, it's as good as it gets. Now, I was a big Sam Darnold guy. I think the verdict's, you know, still out on Sam, see what he can become. Hopefully they give him some help there with the Jets. But in terms of just, you know, his vision, like every quarterback, if you're going to be a great quarterback, you got to have some type of a superpower, right? You know, what is it? Is it his athletic ability? Is it his arm strength? Is his accuracy? To me, it's his vision. This kid, they get five out in the route at LSU. He sees the entire field, and he just makes great decisions, and he's accurate. So he's a really, really good prospect, despite the fact he doesn't have a huge arm.
All right, so he's got that great vision. Now, you spent some time with him doing a workout with Jordan Palmer. When you're around Burrow, what do you make of him as a person and a leader, a personality, a presence?
Well, Jim, I mean, when you saw his tweet the other day,
yeah,
that's what you see. Like,
right.
He's a stud, man. Like, and to me, I think there's, you know, you've been around all these athletes, and you have some guys that are cocky and they come across as jerks, and you have other guys that are just like it's more of a swagger, for lack of a better word. And you're like, dude, I love being around this dude. Like, this guy knows he's really good, and carries himself as such, but he's one of the guys. And I was talking to some of the guys down at LSU getting ready for this, and they said during the off season, you know, a lot of times you'll get the quarterbacks and receivers will get together and throw. He said he would get the whole team together. It was almost like 100% participation over the summer because everybody respected him in that way. And this is before, you know, 60-touchdown Joe Burrow. This is coming off of his first year there after transferring from Ohio State. So he's got some big-time leadership qualities to him.
He's a dude. I mean, he's just a dude.
100%. That's exactly who he is, man. And, you know, he's got a basketball background. He's like an all-state basketball player. He's just very comfortable in who he is. Like, I was talking to somebody at LSU today, and they're like, I'm like, tell me something about Burrow, like, that I don't know. And he goes, yeah, well, he wears one of his socks inside out in every game. He eats a caramel apple sucker in pregame. Like, you got to be kind of a bad dude to do that. Like, you just, you know, there's something to you. There's, like, a little edge to you, just a little different. I dig it.
That's it. That's 100% what that is. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so when you evaluate quarterbacks, if you leave out the injury, DJ, for a moment, how close are Burrow and Tua as quarterbacks?
I think it's pretty close because Tua, you know, Tua's ultra, like, twitched up, you know, with his feet, with his release, with his mind, like, seeing things really quickly. You know, everybody asks me for comparisons with Tua. I'm like, well, have you ever played cards? He's like a card dealer. Like, just like shooting those cards out across
great.
The table. Like, that's kind of how he plays. But, you know, the hip thing, not a doctor, Jim, but, I mean, this is not an ankle or a knee. Like, a hip's no joke. So you got to get to the recheck in April. You know, I don't believe any report that gets out about anybody's medical at the combine, because if it's getting out, it's getting out for a reason. So just kind of play the waiting game there, see what your doctors say. But it's close. I still think Joe Burrow at his best, I would take over Tua even at his best. But I think they're both top five picks.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us. So really quickly about the medicals, we'll see how they read. But if you're an NFL team, when you look at Tua and you look at the ankle sprains, plural, and that hip injury, which is significant, do you look at that and do you think this guy's injury prone, or do you look at that and think that's just bad luck?
Well, I think that, you know, with the ankles, I wouldn't have any issue with that. I mean, a couple high ankle sprains, and, you know, they did those tightrope procedures, which, you know, a lot of NFL teams wouldn't even go that route, so would have had those surgeries. So I'm okay with that. The hip is a totally different deal. And, you know, for some perspective on that, you know, I went and watched, there's a documentary out on Andy Murray, the tennis player. It's on, I think it's on Amazon, and he was just called, like, Resurfacing. This dude was the number one ranked tennis player in the world, and he has the hip injury, and he's never really been able to come back from it to the point where he's going to be playing doubles now. And, you know, I know in tennis there's a lot of change of direction and a lot of force, but I don't watch a lot of it, Jim, but I don't recall any 250-pound guys trying to tackle you while you're swinging your racket out there. So the hip's a totally different animal.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us. Remember, NFL Network is going to provide live coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine beginning Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern with quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and the tight ends. Now, DJ, there was this rising tide of conversation about Jordan Love from Utah State. I had him on the show before the season. I really like his game. What are you looking to see from him, and in particular, his arm when he does throw?
Well, he's got unbelievable talent, and, you know, I have him as my third quarterback, so I actually have him over Herbert. You know, he's in my top 20 on my sequence list in this draft class. In fact, when I look at it, he's my 18th overall player. So, you know, with this kid, you watch him in 18, and you saw him with, you know, a little bit of talent around him. He was very competitive, better decision maker. This year, they lose 9 starters. You lose your coordinator, your head coach, and he started playing hero ball, and you just can't do that. But I think, you know, I don't have to project with him in terms of, man, can this guy ever play at a high level? I've seen him do it. He can do it. He's going to need some time to develop, but that ability is in there, and he is so loose and so explosive and so dynamic. I mean, he's more of a playmaker, in my opinion, than Herbert. Herbert's more on schedule, but when things break down, this kid's got some magic to him.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so what do you make of Chase Young and his potential as a pass rusher in the NFL?
I think he's going to be a double-digit sack guy, you know, on a perennial basis. He doesn't have – people say, okay, what is he lacking? Well, look, he's not an elite bend guy at the top of his rush. Like, if you've seen a Von Miller, you've seen a DeMarcus Ware in their careers, you know, what they do to be able to bend and wrap, he's not – that's not him. But he's got outstanding hands. He's obviously a physical specimen. He can convert his speed to power, and he's a finisher. And I laughed, Jim, when, like – some of these people that box score scout, like, oh, he didn't do anything in the last 3 games of the year. I'm like, dude, watch the tape. He hit Lawrence like 8 times in that game against Clemson. They start double and triple teaming him, throwing screens away from him. Like, he impacted the entire game plan for Clemson in that game. Like, trust me, he's fine.
Bleeping box score scouts. Man, I hate that stuff. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. You're the best, dude. So Alabama receiver Henry Ruggs III is going to work out tomorrow night. When you watch him on tape, what do you make of his speed, and what kind of a 40 could he be looking at?
Well, Jim, you're taking notes on these guys when you're rolling through all these receivers, and you kind of run out of different ways to describe things. With this dude, when I watched him, I wrote down on like with speed, I just wrote down instant death. Like, it's over, dude.
Wow.
Like, if you don't get a hand on this guy and he gets even with you, he's gone. And he destroys pursuit angles with his speed. And a lot of times with speed guys, if you look back, think about, like, the Ted Ginns, the Bashaud Perrimans, like, these fast guys don't have great hands, right? So you got to give up some of that to get some of the speed. This kid dropped one ball last year. So he's got strong hands. The stats aren't going to blow you away because there's 4 first-round receivers on that Alabama offense, so they had to spread it all around to all those guys. This dude was a freaking unbelievable basketball player in high school. So he's been a gunner on punt. Like, he goes down and makes tackles. So I got a guy that's tough, that has an outstanding athletic background, and, oh, yeah, he just happens to run in the 4.2s. So I think he's in the mix to be the first receiver. I don't think this is just CeeDee Lamb versus Jerry Jeudy. I think Ruggs is in that fight.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us for another moment or so. So when you're evaluating players, the tradition has been to do it based on position. But when you see guys like Deebo Samuel, Tyrann Mathieu on defense, guys who can play multiple positions, does it feel, DJ, like the NFL is starting to incorporate a little of the NBA's positionless approach?
Yeah, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about this week on the coverage because I've talked to defensive coordinators, I've talked to head coaches, offensive coordinators about this, and, you know, the game is about mismatches. That's the whole game. So when you got guys offensively that when you break the huddle and they have the personnel to match what you're doing because, you know, this guy is in one spot, and all of a sudden Deebo Samuel, you break the huddle, they think you're going to be in empty, and you trot out your dime personnel, and next thing you know, Deebo Samuel's back there by the quarterback, and he's functioning as a running back. You can really create some advantages with that type of versatility. And then conversely, on the defensive side of the ball, I see it with Derwin James every week. You know, Derwin James, some weeks is going to be the high safety. When you want to have a vertical passing game, he's kind of the vacuum cleaner back there. Other teams, you want to play a run-heavy team, you're going to drop him down in the box and let him get dirty down there. So those guys are the chess pieces that all these teams are trying to find. And, you know, offensively, Deebo Samuel is a name that's come up more with personnel guys than any other name of the guys I've talked to, just because they're obsessed with trying to find that type of guy.
All right, so finally, who did I miss? Who is a guy or two that we have not talked about yet that you're keeping your eyes on this week?
Well, you can't take your eyes off Mekhi Becton from Louisville because he's 6'7", 360-plus pounds. Their left tackle, and he's a really good player. I think he's the best left tackle in the draft. I think he's a special big man, and I already warned Eisen. I'm like, dude, good news is there's a guy that's running a 40 that's 6'7", you know, almost 370 pounds. The bad news is he can roll, and they're going to definitely put you next to him when you run your 40, and it's not going to end well. so he's a freak.
He is an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. He is a 3-on-3 jungle half-court legend. And remember, the NFL Network is all over this. Live coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine getting underway Thursday. Make a note, 4 p.m. Eastern with quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. DJ, that is awesome, awesome content, man. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for doing that.
You're the best, Jim. I appreciate you, bud.
You are, dude. You are sincerely the best. Daniel Jeremiah, he is so great at what he does and so great to listen to. And I do take exception to one thing he said. He said, when you're watching tape, you run out of ways to describe these guys. You don't, bro. His vernacular is so awesome. His description and analysis is so, so good. I could talk to him for hours. DJ, and he was at the Jungle 3-on-3 back in the day.